During the course of a year, you and I follow what I call the church year when we have our worship services. About half the year, it's all about the things that Jesus does for us. We start with Advent, Jesus is coming, Christmas, his birth. Epiphany is the season where he shows that he's God's son, starts performing miracles. Lent, of course, and then Easter, and then Ascension, where he returns to heaven. Pentecost, sending of the Holy Spirit. And then from June all the way through until about this time of the year, it's just a general season of the year. And then we get to the last Sundays before Advent starts again, and we talk about Judgment Day. That's the last thing that Jesus is coming here to do. Well, a lot of people have questions about Judgment Day, and thankfully, you and I have plenty of answers because the Bible tells us everything that we need to know. We're studying the lesson from 1 Thessalonians 5, and the Apostle Paul is encouraging us to be ready for Judgment Day, and we do that by being alert and by living like believers every day. Our first scripture reading are two short verses from Daniel chapter 7. Daniel is given a vision of what heaven is going to be like, and when he is seated there on his throne and he sees Jesus, we know what he's going to do. He's going to judge all people, and the Savior is going to be looking for whether people had faith in him or not. Here's what Daniel saw. I continued to watch until thrones were set up, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair on his head was like pure wool. His throne was flames of fire. Its wheels were blazing fire. A river of fire flowed from his presence. Thousands upon thousands served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. Our psalm reading for this evening is Psalm 90. This is a familiar psalm. It reminds us that our time here on earth is limited, and our goal is to be in heaven, and that's what God has prepared for us. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. You turn mortals back to dust. You sweep them away in the sleep of death. The length of our days is 70 years or 80, if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Our last scripture reading is the gospel lesson from Matthew chapter 25. Jesus talks about those who believe and how they act, and unbelievers and how they act. Jesus isn't telling us in these verses to do good things to get into heaven. He's describing the things that people do as a result of their faith and their trust in God. And that's what God looks for us in us too. He wants us not just to say we have our faith, but to demonstrate it in the way that we live. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was lacking clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or lacking clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" The king will answer them, "Amen, truly I tell you, just as you did it for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you did not give me food to eat. I was thirsty, and you did not give me anything to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Lacking clothes, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not take care of me. Then they also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or lacking clothes, or sick, or in prison, and did not serve you? At that time he will answer them, Amen, truly I tell you, just as you did not do it for one of the least of these, you did not do it for me. And they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. God's word for our study and encouragement is from 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 11. Concerning the times and dates, brothers, fellow Christians, there is no need to write to you, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When people are saying peace and security, destruction will suddenly come on them like labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will certainly not escape. But you, brothers, are not in the dark so that this day takes you by surprise like a thief. For you are all sons, children of the light, and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or the darkness. So then, let us not sleep like everyone else, but rather let us remain alert and sober. To be sure, those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. You see, God did not appoint us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as you are also doing. Dear fellow Christians, I watched a TV program once that was called Doomsday Preppers. I don't know if you've seen something similar to that. The program was about groups of people who were expecting some catastrophic event to end the world, something that would be so severe that life would never be the same again. And the program was about how people prepared for this catastrophic event. What did they do? Well, the program showed them building fortified homes, and in their homes they had food that they stored away. They wanted to be safe, so now they've got weapons in there to protect themselves. And they think that there's going to be no help out there for them with this catastrophic event. So now they've got medical things stored away. They're learning how to take care of themselves and taking seeds and putting them away in case they're able to plant a garden. The whole idea was that this catastrophic event would come and then they would be on their own for taking care of themselves. And they wanted to be prepared. So that's what they did. Well, as Christians, we know that there's a catastrophic event coming. But you don't prepare for it by having a fortified house and food stored away and weapons and everything else necessary to survive. The only way to prepare for the catastrophic event as a Christian is to have your faith. And the catastrophic event that's coming, of course, is Judgment Day. When we get to the end of the church year, we'll be spending now a few Sundays talking about Jesus' return. That's the thing that He's waiting for and the thing that you and I are waiting for, too. And we want to be prepared. And how are we prepared? Well, in our reading for tonight, Paul talks about two things. He wants us to be alert, to know that this is a reality, and he wants us to be self-controlled. He wants us and encourages us to live like believers. In Thessalonica, the people had all kinds of questions for Paul about Judgment Day. And so the Bible gives lots of information about that day, and Paul talks about that with some of them. The first thing that we know is that Judgment Day is God's final act. It's the day when Jesus returns, not coming as Savior to save, but He returns as Judge. There will be no other judgment. There will be no other time. Judgment Day is not like a second chance. This is judgment. And when Jesus returns, the time that people have for their faith is over. Another thing we know about Judgment Day are all these different signs of the end. You can read in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus talks a lot about the signs that are coming. So evidence that it's here, indicators, I guess I'll say, that Judgment Day is approaching. There's wars and rumors of wars. There are natural disasters like earthquakes and famines. There are false teachers who are becoming more prevalent. The world becomes more and more sinful as you get closer and closer to the end. All kinds of signs, and when you read through those in Matthew 24, it would appear that all of them are going on right now. All those signs are here. Something else we know about Judgment Day is that no one knows when it's going to come. This is a verse from Matthew chapter 13. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. No one knows. Jesus, in respect to his human nature, doesn't know, but God knows, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. People don't know. Angels don't know. And that's really a good thing. If we knew when Judgment Day was coming, we would probably just worry about it. And for the unbeliever would think, okay, Judgment Day is coming on this date. I got all this time to live it up. And then when we get close to that date, I'll pretend to be a Christian and put on my halo on my head and start living like one. But it wouldn't be genuine. God doesn't tell us because he wants us to be living like a Christian all the time. And that makes it us ready. Whether we're awake or asleep as a believer, we know that our home in heaven is coming for us. Another truth about Judgment Day, it's going to affect all people. On that day, everyone is raised back to life again, anyone who has ever lived. Jesus comes back in the clouds with his angels. We hear a trumpet blast. Everyone is raised back to life. And then Jesus divides between believers and unbelievers, the sheep and the goats, as we heard about. No one escapes Judgment Day. This is a verse from Revelation 1, verse 7. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. Everyone will see Jesus coming back. There are people today that are skeptical about Judgment Day, and there were people like that in the New Testament too. And there must have been a lot of them, because the Apostle Peter was inspired to write about whether Judgment Day is coming or not. Here's what he says, what Peter says in one of his letters. He's talking about scoffers, as he puts them. They, the scoffers, will say, "Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." So they're saying as it goes on longer and longer, waiting for Judgment Day, they're becoming more and more skeptical. Is God really going to keep that promise? It's been a long time. But just because God is taking a long time to fulfill it doesn't mean it won't come. Another truth about Judgment Day. When Jesus returns, he's going to be looking for one thing, and that's faith in people's hearts. He is not going to look at bank accounts or what people had in an earthly way. He's not going to look at what people did apart from faith. He's going to be looking for that evidence of faith that they have in their hearts and lives. And that's the only thing that gets someone home to heaven, that simple faith and trust in the Savior who's taken away all of our sins and prepared a home in heaven for us. Paul wanted the Thessalonians to be prepared, and he wants us to be prepared. So what can you and I do to be ready for what's coming? Here's what Paul says. Now about the times and dates, we do not need to write to you. You know very well the day of the Lord will come like a thief. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Notice how Judgment Day arrives. No one knows, and all of a sudden, it's there. It's something that's unavoidable. Like a lady who's ready to have a baby, she knows the labor pains are coming. You can't stop it. That's what Judgment Day is like. Notice what else Paul says here. There will be people that say, oh, everything is great. Peace and security and safety in our world today. People who are unconcerned about Jesus' return. And he says that's when the end will come. Jesus promises that Judgment Day is coming like he promised a couple of other things. Remember him telling his disciples that he was going to be betrayed by one of them, that he was going to suffer, and that he would die, and that he would rise again and go back to heaven. And to the disciples, that was nonsense. How could all these things happen? But they did. Remember Jesus riding into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday on that donkey, and one of the things that he does is cry for the city of Jerusalem. Do you remember why? Because he knew that some 40 years after he was on this earth, 70 AD, the city would be destroyed because the people would have gotten so far away from the Lord. And when Jesus announced that it was going to be destroyed, they thought he was crazy. That's never going to happen. Jerusalem is this great city that's the religious center of the world. But it happened. When Jesus tells us that Judgment Day is coming, and he makes that promise, we know that it's going to happen. And that's why Paul tells us to be alert, to be prepared, to know that this is a reality. And of course, the way that we're prepared again is to have our faith and trust in Jesus. And when we're a Christian, we're going through our earthly lives here, but in the back of our minds, we know that any day could be the day that Jesus returns, or it could be the day that the Lord takes us home to heaven. We're to be prepared by being alert. Every time I drive over the Mackinac Bridge, there's usually something going on the bridge. You've probably experienced the same thing. If you go across in the summertime, they're usually painting. They got those paint booths hung on the side, and they're painting the railings. I've heard that they even go into the columns that are down in the water, and they paint on the inside of those to prevent it from rusting. Well, I guess they go on this end of the bridge, and then they paint this whole side, and then they go to the other side, and then they paint all that back again, 5 miles back to the other side, and they just keep doing that. It's just a continual thing in good weather. And then there's other maintenance. So they take care of that grate that's in the middle lanes and so many other things. Well, why do they do all that work? Why do they do all that painting? Why are they so careful about the structure of the bridge? They want to make it safe. So it's constant maintenance. Well, as Christians, we can use the same thing, constant maintenance in our faith. We know all about Judgment Day. This isn't the first time we've studied about it. We know all about it. We know many of these things that I've already talked about. So why talk about it again? Why spend a few Sundays dedicated to Jesus' return on the last day? Why spend so many Sundays talking about Jesus' work from Advent in the fall all the way till the spring when he goes back to heaven? We need the constant spiritual maintenance. We know everything about Judgment Day, but it's so easy to forget that it's coming. We get busy doing other stuff, and we fall into that mode of peace and security, like Paul talked about here. Everything's going okay, and maybe it is. But when you and I are believers, we're waiting for something else to come. And that's what the Lord wants to be on the forefront of our minds. Judgment Day is approaching. We want to be prepared. We want to be alert and ready for it. And we also want to live self-controlled lives, that it be a Christian life, as we demonstrate our faith to others. Paul had this second encouragement for them, not just to talk about Judgment Day, but now to live in a way that was pleasing to God. One of the things he wanted them to realize is how special they were to the Lord. This is what Paul said to the Colossian Christians. Think of these words that are used to describe them. He says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved," and then he goes on to talk about them living like believers. Well, think about those terms. Believers are chosen by God. He picks us out to believe in him. Believers are holy. They have all their sins taken away, and God has made us like that by sending Jesus. We're dearly loved by God. He wants nothing more than to get us safely home to heaven with him. Paul wanted the Thessalonians to know that, just as we know that. And then Paul says this about living like a believer. He says, "So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled." To be asleep spiritually means to not be paying attention to what's going on in our spiritual life. Or it might mean for the unbeliever that they don't even know the Lord. They don't even have faith. To be asleep in the darkness of sin is a dangerous place because it leaves you unprepared for the Lord to return. And if you're unprepared for the Lord living here, well, then you'll fall into some of these sins that Paul talks about. The darkness, sinful things that people do, and the sinful way that they live. Well, instead of doing those things, Paul has an encouragement for them. And here's what he says right at the end. He says, "Since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet." Notice how Paul talks about being in a battle when we're Christians. It's a battle for the Thessalonians to live like believers because they've got the devil around them and the sinful world that they're living in and the sin that's inside of them. Use your faith to live like a believer. Sometimes people think faith just means believing in God, and it does. But faith isn't just for believing. Faith is for living. Christian people are to use their faith to know what God wants them to do and then to be guided through their life by using that faith. And then Paul talks about hope. Christian hope is the sure and certain confidence that God's going to do what he promised. And for the Thessalonian believers, that meant that they could say, okay, Jesus promised he's returning. We know he's coming. We're confident of it. And they could use that to help them live like believers. This is really coming. We're going to put our trust in the Lord. Well, your life and mine is really no different. God wants you and I to live like believers and to have that self-control as we live as Christians. We have the same things around us that tempt us, the sinful nature that lives inside of us, the sinful world that we're living in that seems to get worse every day, and the devil who has this one thing in mind, and that is to get as many people as he can to spend eternity with him in hell. How can we live like believers? How can we be self-controlled and get out of the darkness of sin and live in a way that honors God and then helps our faith? Well, Paul tells us to use your faith, not just for believing. We use our faith to remember who Jesus is and what he's done for us and what his plan is for us, which is to get home to heaven. You and I too have this hope, this Christian hope, that's the sure and certain confidence that we're believers and that Jesus is going to return for us. And that helps us live like Christians every day as well. Judgment Day is coming, whether people believe it or not. It's coming. We know it's coming. As we wait for it, we're alert with our faith and we're living like believers each and every day. A lot of times people are afraid of things that they don't understand or things that might be new to them. Sometimes getting a different job can be frightening, or moving to a different place. All kinds of things can make people afraid. Are you ever afraid of Judgment Day? You know, think about some of these things that are going to happen. Seeing Jesus come back in the clouds. All of his angels are going to be with him. Just going to be incredible. Can you even imagine? I can't. Everyone being raised back to life again. And everybody being assembled before the Lord. Believers on his right, the unbelievers on his left. Can you imagine Jesus there sitting on his throne, welcoming us home to heaven because we have faith in our hearts? Can you even imagine what heaven is going to be like? And we can't, not with our simple human minds. And that can make us afraid of seeing these unusual things that we don't quite understand completely. One time Jesus was talking to his disciples about Judgment Day, and they must have seemed afraid. And he wanted to comfort them. And so here's what he told them and what he tells us about Judgment Day. This is Luke 21, verse 28. Jesus says, "When you see these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near." We've been redeemed from sin and death and the devil, but Judgment Day, this is the final step of redeeming us, because Jesus will take us out of this sinful world, away from temptation, away from the devil and the sinful world, and take us home to heaven with him. The unbelievers will be cowering. They will try to hide. Jesus says, "You don't have to hide. I'm coming for you to take you home to heaven." And what a comfort that is for us. Jesus is returning, and we don't have to be afraid. We can look forward to it. Watch him return in the clouds. Welcome him as he's going to welcome us. And as we wait for him, we are prepared. We're alert. We're self-controlled by God's grace. He's going to help us live like believers until he either takes us home to heaven or returns himself. I know there's people who are still doing the doomsday prepper things, people living off-grid and trying to get away from everybody and thinking that that lifestyle is better, and maybe it is. But no matter where we live, there's only one way to be prepared, and that's with our Savior Jesus. And by God's grace, that's what he's done for us. May we continue to look forward to Jesus' return, to be alert and be self-controlled until he does. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll continue with our confession of faith. Tonight we'll use the third article of the Apostles' Creed. This is about the work of the Holy Spirit. I believe that I cannot, by my own thinking or choosing, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord, nor come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the one true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and fully forgives all sins to me and all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. We will continue with our prayers. Dear Savior Jesus, we certainly live in a sinful world that gets worse every day. The devil is our enemy, and he's getting bolder in his attacks upon Christians. The depravity of mankind is almost beyond belief. Love grows cold as greed and selfishness flourish in people's hearts. Nations of the earth have set themselves against you, and on every hand are those who despise what you regard as holy and delight to do those things that we know to be evil. Family and home have been broken down as marriage vows once spoken in earnest are flung aside. People are no longer taught to be obedient and respectful, and children are not learning spiritual things from their parents. People trust their own knowledge and have fashioned a God in their own image. The church on earth, too, has many enemies. False teachers have invaded churches, causing divisions and offenses. And among Christians, there is a serious lack of dedication and understanding. The danger is very real that many could lose the faith that was once given to them. As we stand in this world doomed to destruction, comfort us with the knowledge that you have loved us with an everlasting love. Fill us with the peace that comes from knowing that we are freely forgiven of all of our sins because of the sacrifice that you have made. Comfort us with your promises of eternal life. By the Holy Spirit, strengthen our faith through word and sacrament. Make us watchful each day for your reappearing in glory to get us out of this sinful world. Do not allow the growing darkness of sin to put out our faith that you have given to us. May we never grow weary of resisting sin or of living as Christians. Preserve our faith so that we can wear that crown of glory that you have prepared for us. Father, we're also praying for all other people, fellow Christians and unbelievers. Help our fellow Christians who are straying away to remain strong in their faith and to see how important it is. Help the unbeliever who sees the world deteriorating to turn to you as the only source of hope and strength. Dear Jesus, forgive our many sins when we forget about Judgment Day and live in our own ways. Assure us of our forgiveness and strengthen us again to live for you. We pray this in Jesus' name, and then we'll join together in our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for teaching us the things that you want us to believe and do. Help us by your Holy Spirit to keep your word in pure hearts, that we may be strengthened in faith, guided in holiness, and comforted in life and in death through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, go in peace, live in harmony with one another, serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace. Amen.